Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk sports hands-free, 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Count on Sundays all season long with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
If you change your mind, take a chance on the first take a chance.
All right, 405. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. You hear ABBA at 4 o'clock, you know what it means. Means it's Football Friday and we're taking a Take a Chance parlay. If you don't know what that means, shame on you. But it means we take three dogs, parlay them together. So I believe I'm the only one this season that hit it. I've hit it twice. Have you hit it too? When did you hit it? Last week?
No. Earlier in the year.
Oh, earlier in the year?
But just once. You have it twice. I hit it once.
Okay.
I hit it week 4.
Week 4. All right, so what do we got this week?
So I had the Niners in my pick, so they're included here.
Yep.
The second one, I also have the Steelers for all the reasons you said. Plus, I do think Aaron Rodgers has had this game in his mind.
Mm-hmm.
Not even since he left the Packers. I think he's been thinking about this since the day they ticked him off drafting Jordan Love, mm-hmm. when the pick should have been T. Higgins, and yeah. they would have at least been in the Super Bowl that year. Maybe not won it, yep. but they would have beat the Bucs in that conference championship game, mm-hmm. and been in the Super Bowl. And Rodgers would have had his second chance at that. And the third game, it's funny because most of the dogs are big, so
yeah.
it feels like you have four games to choose from.
Yeah.
And I went with not the one that you had in your picks in the Saints, the Cowboys +3.5.
Yeah.
After watching the Broncos the last 2 weeks,
I know.
Like, I was almost going to include the Cowboys in the regular picks. I'm not so sure they're not the better team anyway.
Mm-hmm.
The Broncos defense is supposed to be good, but they weren't impressive against the Jets. The Jets are just an affront to offense and moving the ball forward.
Yeah.
Then the defense against the Giants was not impressive whatsoever. You have a rookie quarterback and a bunch of wide receivers off the street, and they're torching that renowned defense. I think the Cowboys might be better, and they have the kind of offense where with Pickens and Lamb,
mm-hmm.
Dak Prescott, who's playing at an MVP level anyway,
yeah.
could look at the side of the field as he's assessing it before the play, pre-snap. All right, where's Surtain?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm throwing to the other guy.
Yeah, no, they've got enough.
Plus Jake Ferguson, who now is developing this incredible rapport
absolutely.
With Dak. And the one thing the Cowboys didn't have last year, they have this year, a run game, and their defense, while not great, it's not as bad as it was like in the last year or two. So yeah. I think the Cowboys are a candidate to win this game outright.
No, I don't disagree with you. I think their offense is legit, and Dak is having an incredible year. And you're right. They have enough weapons to just go away from Surtain and still feel like you're throwing to a guy who's, you know, I mean, he started the season with how many touchdowns? So I was going to pick them, but let me go away from it. I'm going to do it. What the hell? Let's have a little fun. I'm going to take the Jets. I think the Jets are going to win this game outright. I was yelling at the caller before. They're talented enough. No, I think they're going to win a game. They're not going 0-17. I don't think the Bengals are very good. I think they're a bad football team. I don't think Joe Flacco, while capable of games like Thursday night, clearly he was, we watched it. I don't think he's capable of doing it back-to-back weeks. I think this defense is going to find a way to get pressure on him. He's going to make mistakes. It's amazing what he did to be able to have that game, and he was barely there. He was there for 8-9 days. He played 2 games. In the second game, it was just, it was throw the ball to Chase, and somehow Pittsburgh couldn't stop it. I think coming off that performance with the Jets being able to game plan and try and figure out a way to eliminate short passes to Chase and figure out a way to get after Joe Flacco. I think they do enough defensively. And offensively with Tyrod Taylor, I do think they're capable of throwing the ball down the field. They're going to win a game somewhere along the line. Let's take a chance and make it the Jets. So I'm going to go with my other two picks, the Steelers and the Saints. I already gave you the reasons why I think there's a good chance that the Steelers win the game outright. And I just like the Saints in a matchup where Tampa Bay is so reliant on their passing game to be down as many wide receivers as they've been. It just feels like a tough game for them, and Bucky Irving's not playing either. They are completely banged up. So give me the Steelers, the Saints, and the Jets. All right, let's see how that works out. Hopefully it's better than last week. Hopefully it's more like 2 weeks ago. 888-808-1019 as we give you picks on a day where obviously the big story is the gambling scandal inside the NBA and Terry Rozier pretty much alerting, I don't know, buddies or whomever, that he was going to take himself out of a basketball game, and they bet his unders and made money, and they divvied it up at his house or apartment or whatever. So that's the player scandal, Chauncey Billups, in what is being deemed a separate but related, which is just fun work. It's just amazing. Like when you read, when Justin Rock reads the story in the update, it is so just, it's so crazy. And you know, I guess I'm naive, and it still did catch me by surprise. I was listening to Gio as I was, listening to their show early in the morning when the news broke. I went to them, and he's like, it's so hard to imagine. Like, I figured this was done. Like, we talk about college kids. We talk about the Black Sox in 1919. Like, the idea that a guy who's made $160 million would risk that for a quick, easy money, knowing that you're betting into now legalized gambling where, you know, it might set off, you know, buzzers that someone's putting hundreds of thousands of dollars on your under on, you know, field goals. And then a game that you leave, like it's just amazing to me that risk would be taken. Same thing for Chauncey Billups, who's made a lot of money in his career. He's an extremely well thought of, well respected leader of, you know, one of the most, when we talk about that championship team and we talk about the Jets and the lack of talent, like that team is revered, that Pistons team, for winning a championship without superstars, right? And as great as he was, that's what he's thought of. He's thought of as like a leader, part of a group that came together as a team and won championships. He's the head coach. He's the head coach in the NBA. And he's helping the mafia set up, you know, rigged poker games. Like, it's just, it's so crazy. And the FBI is involved, and they're looking at jail time. It is a crazy story. And then all the ramifications that we'll talk about as far as, you know, legalized gambling and the impact of that on, you know, on youth and the hypocritical nature of it being involved in the leagues. But do they catch these guys if legalized gambling isn't, like, if this was an offshore, you know, 20 years ago when legalized gambling, what do they catch these guys? Do they see these trends? Do they notice? Do they have the bells and whistles go off to catch a pitcher throwing first pitch balls? Like, do they, like, it's almost as if this has in some ways been beneficial to try and make it so obvious to players who hopefully will learn from this and saying very difficult to get away with making $100,000 or more on the idea of, you know, under minutes and I'm leaving the game injured. Like, it's just, it really is a crazy story. And then even Chauncey Billups, who, again, we don't know if he's involved in this, but when reading the indictment or whatever, there is, you know, a character referred to as, you know, character eight, I'm forgetting the word now, something eight, where conspirator eight, who pretty much has the same resume as Chauncey Billups, the years he played, the years he's coached, and he's giving information about, hey, listen, we're tanking, we're going to not play these guys. Like, and that, I mean, and then I guess the real core question of it all is, does this, how do you feel this speaks to the core of sports on if it's on the level? I think the Donaghy referee scandal is far worse and far more to that point and scares me a hell of a lot more. I mean, even just the non-gambling nature of what we heard come out of that, where they would target players like Allen Iverson, who they felt, you know, mishandled, you know, dealing with a referee and should have been suspended but wasn't. So they took it out on him during the game. Like, that upsets me more and makes me more nervous about the nature of the game being on the level than, you know, the idea of tipping off people that we're not going to play certain guys. And all that's really about is that some people got rich illegally. It's like insider trading more than it is, you know, is the whole market of fraud. But it depends on how you view it, because I'm sure there's many people who, before this even happened, were very cynical and looked at all of sports in this light anyway, and were curious every time something odd happened, or every time a game went against them, or every time something odd happened, to just make sure that the under hit, or just make sure that the you know, the spread was that 6.5 covered. Like, it didn't do any favors for sports. It didn't do any favors for sports fandom. But I call me naive. I'm gonna have a tough time believing that this is this particular thing. Like, are players inside the NFL, inside the NHL, inside the NBA, inside Major League Baseball, are they doing things they shouldn't be doing? Are they gambling? We talk about the nature of professional athletes, that, you know, even if you have all this money, it's about the rush. It's about the needing that juice. It's about not only maybe possibly being a gambling addict, but being an addict to, you know, adrenaline, needing that. Like, I don't think the Terry Rozier thing falls under that. Like, I'm going to fake an injury, bet my under. Like, I could understand, like, Pete Rose would fall under that, betting his team to win. Or, you know, Michael Jordan, although we have no reason to believe he ever bet on the game of basketball, but we know the way he bets in golf, and the scandals that have followed him around, and the idea, that he didn't want to go play baseball. He was banished for some sort of, you know, gambling scandal they didn't want to come out, and everything like that. So this will always be around sports as long as sports are played. It always has been. It always will be. But I guess the question is, do you look at this as some real indictment on the core of whether or not the sports are on the level? I'm not going to. I'm not going to hesitate doing what I normally do on a football Sunday. I'm not going to look at things different. Something bad happens, I'm not going to suddenly immediately go, well, like, that's just not me. But maybe it's you. But it is one hell of a story, man. It is one hell of a story. And as it unfolds, I mean, it's a 2-year process. We'll see 30 different people are arrested. The mafia is involved. Like, millions of dollars are involved. It's a wild, wild story. 888-808-1019. Let's get to limo driver Ed. What's up, Ed?
Chris.
Yes, sir.
I'll tell you one thing, bro. You know, the thing is, man, you in bed with the mob, dude. Once you get in it, you ain't getting out. You don't play around.
No.
That's not a joke. You know what I'm saying? And once you get in bed with it, man, your family could be threatened. Dude, that's
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, if that's what, I mean, and specifically the poker games, if that's what you're saying,
man,
why
Chauncey Billups. That means that you're beating other people. Your life is in danger like that. They're beating other people, taking their money, cheating them. That's not good.
No,
that's not good at all.
It's not good.
Okay? Busted. And that's the whole thing. And that's what you got to look at. It's not good. You're taking people's money and cheating on them? Bro, that's serious.
Oh, no, it's a serious crime. There's no doubt about that. And if found guilty, they're looking at jail time, and rightfully so. And they should be banned from having anything to do with the NBA, anything to do, broadcasting, anything. They should never be able to work around the game of basketball ever again. I'm kind of with you on that, but I'm just saying that's the micro look at it. This is wrong. They did wrong. Let's see how they get punished. The macro is, how do we view sports gambling as a whole? how do we view legalized sports gambling? What role did that play into this, do we think? What role does that play moving forward? Like, is this going to make leagues second-guess their relationship with gambling? Are we going to view it moving forward knowing that this kind of thing can go on and has gone on and probably will continue to go on? Do we view investing our money into gambling, wondering whether or not this kind of stuff is at the forefront? Like, that's the macro. The micro view is, yeah, these guys did, you know, they cheated. They robbed people out of money. In some cases, yeah. I mean, the poker game, that's a whole different thing. Like, who knows how many people went to go play because of Chauncey Billups and got in over their head losing at that poker game and then were into certain people for an extended period. I don't know. You're right. I don't know. I have no idea how that world works. I've never been invited to some sort of underground high. And I saw in the post that it's a former residence of Kylie Jenner. That it's like a Kylie Jenner apartment in Manhattan that some of these games are going on. Like, it's just, it keeps getting, like, now the Jenners are involved. How crazy is that? Yeah, let me bring up that story. But, yeah, the Post. Kylie Jenner's New York City love nest used for rigged poker game the same year Kardashians filmed there. I mean, a ritzy New York City townhouse that Kylie Jenner and Travis Scott used as a love nest was being leveraged by mafia goons and NBA stars to run illegal rigged poker games, according to the feds. Crazy. Now I don't even know if I can trust watching reality TV. If you're going to take reality TV away from me, now I'm really pissed. Now, if I can't trust what I watch on reality television, well, now life is falling apart as we know it. It's one thing you want to tell me I can't trust a basketball game. It's one thing you want to say, you know, the NFL is something I can't wager on with confidence. But if you're going to take away the Kardashians and make me feel like I can't trust what I watch on that, is nothing sacred?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan on the Odyssey iHeart and TuneIn apps.
All right, 425, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. 888-808-1019. I apologize. I guess the YouTube went down. I have no idea. I had like a conversation the first day that we did it and kind of went through some things, but I do not know how to get it back going. I got to talk to the team and learn how to get it going if it falls down. I know how to turn it off. That's it. At the end of the night, I know how to turn it off. At the end of the morning, so I apologize if you were watching. I didn't get rid of it on purpose. It wasn't because you guys were mocking my visor, I promise you. You know I look good. 888-808-1019. So I'm sorry there's no stream right now, but we'll get it back Monday after the big football weekend here on a Football Friday. Me and I just saw LaPresti. We were lamenting about the Ranger game. He's very upset. Very upset that Chris LaPresti. He's got a lot thing. He's got a lot of things going on. His Twitter's getting hacked. Rangers are losing. He's fighting with Marash. Who needs it? Who needs it? Nobody needs that. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls. Pat in the Bronx. What's up, Pat?
Good morning, Christopher. Thanks good morning. For taking my call.
You got
it's a good morning. World Series is about to start.
That's right. Is it tonight? Is the World Series start tonight? Great. Wonderful. Great. Grand one. I'm so excited.
Well, I know it's football season.
No, it's not that. It's just that I don't want the Dodgers to win the World Series. I don't want the Blue Jays to win the World Series. So I'm kind of
I understand your antipathy toward the Blue Jays being in the same division. However, you know, they're really an innocuous team. They haven't won since 93.
Uh-huh.
It's not like they've had a series of pounding, bullying success like
no.
the Dodgers and, dare I say, the Yankees over the period of the last 40 years. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't know. I'm rooting for the Blue Jays. I just don't think there's a chance of how they can win it. The Dodgers are coming out with four stud pitchers
who can
go seven innings.
Yeah.
They've got a great reliever who's really a starter, but he's a super reliever. And they got the MVP top three, plus Teoscar Hernandez, Tommy Edmund, who ruined the Mets season last year. I think this has all the earmarks of a sweep. And it's going to be boring. And you know, and Fox is going to lose some viewership.
I mean, we'll see. I think the Dodgers, just by their nature, bring in some viewers. And maybe all of Canada will be watching. Who knows? Maybe you're wrong on the ratings. I have no idea. But I do agree with you. I suspect the short series. The key is going to be the first thing you said. The Blue Jays, this like offense, is going to have to either score runs off the starting pitching or they're going to have to get to this bullpen. Because, yes, they've kind of solved their closer issue. One of their relievers is leaving the team right now, Vesia, because he's got some sort of personal issue going on. And their bullpen has been their Achilles heel all year. And that's kind of what the Blue Jays do, right? They don't strike out. They put the ball in play. They work at bats. They work the count. That's, you know, what they're going to have to do if they want to win this series is get to this excellent starting pitching. And even if they can't get to it, get them out of the game and get to that bullpen in the sixth inning or no later than the sixth. Because I that's the only place you're going to score runs off of them. Because I agree. The starting rotation, you got your Savage versus Snell in game one. Snell's been incredible. Yamamoto's been incredible. Glasnow's got as good, on his good day, could be as good as any pitcher in baseball. And then they've got the great Ohtani, who's just coming off six innings with 10 strikeouts. So the starting pitching is dynamite. The lineup, particularly at the top, is relentless. And, you know, they've got a great closer. So the only weakness is the middle of that bullpen, the underbelly of that bullpen, and the Blue Jays are going to have to find a way to get to the starters and get to that bullpen. Otherwise, it's going to be a very quick series.
It reminds me of Kansas City in 2015. Chris, are you familiar with a film called The Gambler with James Caan? You know, James Caan from The Godfather?
I know who James Caan is. I get. The Gambler with James Caan. I know, right, so this is the one where Mark Wahlberg did a remake of it, right?
Exactly, but
okay.
All remakes are horrible.
I didn't see either of them. I was aware of it. I've seen The Hustler with Paul Newman, and that's what I thought you were getting at first, but no, I don't remember The Gambler with James Caan, no.
Well, in any case, it does bring up point. It's during the point-shaving scandal, and it's part of the movie, but, you know, as your previous caller, the limo driver, was saying, this is life and death. And he's playing a dangerous game. He's a compulsive gambler, playing with big-time bookies and stuff like that. And he's a teacher, and he gets one of his students to shave points on the basketball court as a personal favor. But it's life and death. I mean, you know, this is not fun in games, this gambling. I know it's legalized now, but it's really not fun in games. And I hope it's not widespread. I'd like to think it's not widespread. I remain optimistic that it's not widespread. Thanks for
No, of course,
call.
Yeah. I so do I. I mean, again, are there... And we don't know everything on why this was done, or, I mean, the guy is in the middle, or at the end, rather, of a four-year, $96 million contract. He's made over $100 million for his career. I mean, he would really have to be in deep. I mean, that is a ton. That is a ton of money. It's a lot of money. And to be that deep in it, after having that, signing those kind of contracts, it's hard to believe. That's why you don't assume it, right? You watch The Gambler. I remember Blue Chips. Remember Blue Chips? Nick Nolte? One of his guys was shaving points at the beginning. And then, obviously, everything. They're paying athletes. They're paying Shaq. They're giving Paul Crewe in the longest yard, right? Shaving points in a football game. It just feels like the money was too big for that. Didn't it? It just felt like, well, that's not a real concern anymore. Like, again, I mentioned watching Eight Men Out. And, you know, Eddie Seacott can't provide for his family winning 20 games for the White Sox. Like, it's just a different world. It's a different world. They did that because they felt like they were getting gypped by the owner and weren't getting paid and couldn't provide for their family. These guys are making millions and millions of dollars. It just felt like, how could you get to these guys? And again, we got to see exactly what's going on. We'll see the story here, what Chauncey Billups is going to say. You know, that, yeah, I was helping direct people to this card game that I thought was on the up and up. I knew a lot of gamblers in my time. You know, the back of the planes, famously, we'd be playing cards. I got involved in this card game. It was a lot of fun. You know, they threw me some extra money to play in the games if I attracted people, or like they used me to attract people. I didn't know they were cheating. Like, I'm sure like that's what's going to happen. I have no idea. I don't even want to speculate. I have no idea what's going to happen. But when it's guys with this much on the line, with this much money at risk, Chauncey Billups' career, Chauncey Billups, what we think of him, his legacy, all of that on the line for this, it just seems odd, man. It really does. It seems odd. But, and again, I'm going to, for me, it's not going to be that difficult to be able to put it behind me and continue watching sports in the same way I watch it. If I do, you know, throw the occasional bet down, I don't think I'm going to, you know, worry about this, or like, I don't think it's going to affect me. I'm not going to view this as some sort of aha. The whole thing's a sham. That's just not how I'm going to view it. And I'm curious to think how many people are going to feel that way. Because I know people in my own life who already were cynical about sports. I mean, I think they're half, even the most cynical people who think everything is rigged, in the back of their minds, they probably think it's not true, but they have a hard time justifying what happens sometimes. Sometimes crazy things happen in sports. That's why we love it. We love it because sometimes we can't explain what we watched. But I don't think I'm going to... Well, I mean, we'll see. But there's the micro level of this is life and death for people. This is messing with people's lives. This is impacting people's lives. This is putting people in possible danger whenever the mafia gets involved in it. So, like, I don't know. But to me, as far as what we do here, it's about how we view sports in general, how we view sports gambling in general. And I don't know if this is going to impact how I view it. Is it just a couple of bad actors? Or is this, you know, significant? And we look, you know, I know the league did an investigation and we can get on the league and Adam Silver is going to have to talk about this and they're going to have to justify how they cleared him of wrongdoing. And then clearly the FBI was not clearing him of wrongdoing. But again, they don't have the same way to compel people to tell the truth or do we expect the NBA to be as good at this as the FBI? Like, I don't know. I know it's the most important question. I know it's to the core of what sports are, and you'd like to think that if this was going on, they'd be able to investigate it. But I have no problem. leaving it up to the FBI necessarily. Same thing with Ohtani. You know, everyone right now, because of this, we go back to that. People were very cynical about the Ohtani thing. Clearly, he's involved. What bookie would take all this money from an interpreter and not the actual person and everything that went on with that? The FBI looked into it. And the FBI cleared him of any wrongdoing. What? Like, is the FBI now picking and choosing which cases they want to investigate and which they're going to let go for the betterment of what? Like, if Ohtani was doing wrong and they found wrongdoing, why would they gloss over that but want to make sure we got Chauncey Billups? Because of who it's connected to? Because of the idea that it's more than just sports gambling and that there's, you know, elements of the mafia involved? Maybe. But I just, you know, it's just a crazy widespread tentacles everywhere. This is a billion-dollar business, more than that. Multiple billion, tens of billion-dollar business. And it was before we legalized it. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. On what is a Football Friday, and we spoke a lot about the Giants, too, as this is a big game for me, for the New York Giants. It's not the week we had hoped. It's not the week I had envisioned up 19-0 in the fourth quarter. It's not what I figured we'd be talking about at 3-4, looking to get back in it. Looking with an opportunity to play the Eagles for the second time in 3 weeks and have a real idea, a real chance of thrusting themselves back into a chance to win the division or at least compete for the division for a while, compete inside the NFC playoff race. And, you know, I mean, who knows? Crazier things have happened, as we've just said. Maybe they could rattle off some wins, but it just didn't have that buzz to it because of that debacle of a game and what was that fourth quarter collapse against the Broncos. So that the week hasn't been that. And instead, for me, this week is about, you know, getting the team off the deck, really. I think we talk so much about the coach and what he's done with the quarterback and what he needs to do to keep his job and does he still need to win games or is developing Jackson Dart enough and blah, 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 blah. And I'm of the belief that developing Jackson Dart is enough. And quite honestly, if Jackson Dart continues to play this way, wins will follow. How many? Enough to make themselves a contender for the postseason? Probably not. But wins will follow if they continue to play as well as they played against the Broncos. It will. If he continues to play this well, wins will follow. And for me, that's been my main talking point about Brian Daboll and this team and coming off that brutal loss and trying to look at it in a different way. But you also learn a lot about a coach coming off a week like that. Like, Dexter Lawrence has openly talked about how hard it was to forget last week. It's not easy to blow a game like that as you're getting ready for Philadelphia and know very well that, like, 2-5 and 3-4 are different worlds. It's one game, theoretically. They are worlds apart. And, you know, you have players coming off the field screaming about play calls. Oh, wait, no, it's not really about play calls. It was just that, how did we drop back 8 and not make? It's about the players. You know, Burns, you know, walking back his comments after the game, or at least his, you know, his screaming as he's walking off the field. That wasn't about the coach. It wasn't about, like, but a million different things happened. Right? And there's clearly frustration. And when you've been a losing franchise, and I know that Jackson Dart and Scataboo have done a lot to try and talk to the idea that this isn't the same old Giants and that they're new and that everything, and that, you know, they're not connected to the losing franchise of the last decade. They're not connected to the red zone woes of the previous offenses. This is all brand new. Well, it's not all brand new for Dexter Lawrence. It's not all brand new for Andrew Thomas. It's not all brand new for a lot of the guys who've been on this team losing. And last week just reinforced what the Giants have been in many ways. Yeah, different. Yeah, 19-point lead. Yes, the offense looks completely, you know, energized with Jackson Dart, Cam Scataboo, and it feels different in so many ways. But losing that game in that manner, that was the same old Giants. Figuring out a way to be 2-5 again after 7 weeks, that's typical Giants. And so to get this game, get this team up, and that's on the coach, to get this team up and ready to play and dealing with injuries in the defensive backfield, where that's the reason to me they lost the game, is because the depth at the defensive backfield stinks. Baker, for a first-round pick, is atrocious and shouldn't be playing for them, but they might not have a choice. They're still banged up. Burns hasn't practiced. Debo hasn't practiced. Holland hasn't practiced. So they're going into a game against Philadelphia where they could be down positions that their backups aren't any good against the Philadelphia team that kind of got their passing game going last week and is going to be pissed off about what happened 2 weeks ago while the whole world was watching. And now it's up to this coach to get the team up. It's up to this coach to figure out a way to scheme up an offensive game plan. Because remember now, this is the first time Jackson Dart is going to see a defense twice. This is the first time that a team is going to step on the field and have already played against Jackson Dart. And have already seen it. And, you know, Fangio and the defense can talk about how great, and Jackson Dart's been getting his ass kissed all week. Right, Fangio, hey, what do you know about Jackson Dart? Well, I know that the teams who passed on him are going to regret it. We obviously know because it got intertwined with Russell Wilson and all that noise, but we saw how Peyton talked about him. I heard clips of Matthew Stafford going on about him. The defense, Benito and those guys in Denver, the Broncos, he's better than we thought he was. We have to be fair. He's one hell of a player. Like, he's been getting his ass kissed all week, despite the loss, despite everything. Him and this coach have a hell of a job in front of them to go try and take on this Eagles team. It is going to be a big game. And if they show up and get their doors blown off, we're going to feel a lot different about it. If they go in there and lose, but fight and play the same kind of game, and the offense looks the same, and Jackson Dart plays well, and they're in it till the end, that's going to be a very important, and I know moral victories, I get it. I know we don't like moral victories. It's not about moral victories. It's about progressing and continuing the upward trajectory. I want to continue to feel good about this team, right? We all understand where they are at 2-5. And yeah, they were 0-3. He's 2-2. I want to go win this game, and I think they're capable of winning the game. I think anytime you beat someone 34-17, you're capable of beating them again. But it's a tough spot. It's a different spot. It's a different Eagles team. It's a pissed off Eagles team. And winning the game would be through the roof. I shouldn't say I don't need it, but I just want to feel the same way about them. I want to have them leave that Philadelphia game and feel like I'm still seeing this. I'm still seeing that upward trajectory. I'm still seeing, that line right through the middle of the chart going up. I still want to feel that after this game. And I don't need a win to feel that. I need this team to show up. I need this defense to figure out a way to stop this passing attack with probable backups that aren't any good. A cornerback in Banks who they're going to go after relentlessly. You watch. A defense that's coming off a brutal fourth quarter. A defense where the defensive coordinator is being questioned by everyone, including his own players. And an offense that has looked great, but is going into a difficult opponent on the road yet again, back-to-back road games. And now a defense that has got a chance to see Jackson Dart, play against Jackson Dart, get an idea of what Jackson Dart does. And this is going to be a tough game. There's no doubt about it. This is going to be a tough game, but I'm looking forward to it. And if they could ever win it, then we get back on the train. Then we get back on the, hey, they could be in the mix. Hey, they can compete for this division. Hey, they can get back into the NFC playoff picture. You got to go win it, though. Got to go win it. Ken and Elizabeth, what's up, Ken?
Hey, Matthew, you blew my spot up. I was going to say the same thing. Now that he's got a lot of eyes on him, everybody is talking to the town. Everybody's planning on how they're going to attack
him. You got an Eagles team who lost to him. An Eagles team was already seeing him. An Eagles team who was probably pissed off watching him and Scataboo in the post game ripping their shirts off with Fitz, enjoying it. Everyone, embracing it. Everyone talking about it. Then he goes and plays Denver, good game. Everyone's kissing his ass. Every coach is kissing his ass. Every player's kissing his ass. Oh, he's the next great. People are going to regret passing him up, all this stuff. This is a tough spot for him. This is another real tough spot for him.
If you have the time for me, I went back and watched that game again, and it was really a boring game right up. That last 5 minutes felt like a whole game in itself in Denver.
You're talking about the Denver game, yeah.
Yeah. When I went back and watched, it was very ho-hum in the beginning. And really, what did he get away with? A quick pass that he got it, you know, that 45-yarder that kind of just snuck up the middle that you didn't see coming. So I don't know that it was as brilliant as it maybe we're making it out to be with him. You know what I'm saying?
His actual play wasn't necessarily brilliant, but his composure was. His ability to maneuver inside the pocket while keeping his eyes down the field to make plays is, to me, and maybe this is hyperbole, and maybe you would disagree, or maybe, you know, I'm curious, you know, maybe I'll ask Boomer if I see him. Like, to me, it's elite already. Like, that part of his game feels elite. Like, we talk about all the time, like, whenever we talk about offensive lines and ask Al Dukes, like, I'm sick of talking about the offensive lines, but every time the offensive line comes up, we hear running for his life, right? That's a term that everybody says. How do you expect them to win? I mean, you blame Daniel Jones, he's running for his life, right? Running for his life is a very common phrase used around here. When Jackson Dart is in a position where others run for their lives, it doesn't feel that way with him. It doesn't feel like he's ever running for his life. He's avoiding the rush. That was very George Carlin-like. I'm talking about different words. Like, he's not running for his life. He's avoiding the rush. He could be running in six different directions, and it feels comfortable. And he doesn't look panicked. Like, it looks like he's just doing what he needs to do. It looks like he had to step left. He stepped left. Like, it looks very calm. It looks very smooth. And the whole time, he's got his eyes down the field. That's what led to the first touchdown to the tight end. Like, he is, like, again, I've said this a couple times. The quick thing is to say he's got it. He's got it. Whatever it is, he's got it. And I feel like when you're talking about Jackson Dart, that's the best explanation for what it is. His pocket presence is, to me, already elite four games in. But if you look at his numbers throwing the ball down the field, he hasn't completed a very good percentage of throws 25 yards or more. Like, in that game, I can't think of any, like, just absolute wow, amazing necessary plays. He does pull off the 4th-and-19 or comes close to it, and then the roughing the passer eliminates the idea of measuring it or where the spot was. But, I mean, he avoids the rush and makes that play in that drive down the field to give them the lead. But, yeah. Like, we'll see what his arm skill is. He had the one play running across his body and throwing across his body to the middle of the field, and he just put it high enough to get it over the linebacker and into the hands of Wandell Robinson. There have been some really good throws. His best game was against Philadelphia. I think that's fair as far as throwing the football and accurately throwing the football. But in Denver, on the road against that defense, to avoid the rush the way he did, to be able to make plays down the field the way he did, to be able to take the lead 19-0, to up until the huge turnover, not turn the ball over. Like, he just looked calm, cool, collected, and played really well against a defense that gives a lot of quarterbacks trouble. So, yeah, he didn't do anything that wowed you, but just his overall ability to stay calm and collected and look like everything is part of the plan is really special. Like, that's the special part of it. And he understands this offense. And again, I know people, when you say that, when you say, look, it's only been four games and how special he is, and you're talking about pocket awareness, like, those are things you can't coach. That has nothing to do with Brian Daboll. I disagree. It has a lot to do with Brian Daboll. That offense he ran in Ole Miss is completely different than this. And everybody, I watched every stupid one of those guys who do this for a living and talk about quarterbacks and tell you this, that, and the other. And I'm not saying they're on top of it or they know exactly what they're talking about, because they're wrong as much as they're right or more. But every one of them, well, Jackson Dart's the quarterback that's got the first round grade that really you feel like might not be ready to immediately jump into the NFL. A lot of rollouts, cutting the field in half. That Lane Kiffin offense is different. It's not, you know, it's going to take some time for him to get used to going through progressions. And like, but immediately. And if you think that had nothing to do with coaching, I disagree. And if you think of his understanding of the offense and how he's able to operate and how he immediately came in and took things over had nothing to do with the coach instilling that confidence in him into this offense, I disagree with you. I think the coach and him go hand in hand. I do. And that's why it's a big week for both of them. It's a big game for both of them. Because the coach not only has the focus on getting Jackson Dart to play well, like he's got to rally the troops off of a gut-wrenching loss. An absolute gut-wrenching loss that they're pissed about, that you could sense in the clubhouse, in the locker room, after the game. Pissed. It's up to him and the quarterback to continue to do what they've been doing, which is elevate the team.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
This city lives and breathes sports. WFAN is where Yankees fans argue with Mets fans and Giants fans debate Jets fans. Live, loud, and daily. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always streaming on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn apps.
All right. McMonagle here with you for just another few minutes before the warm-up show at 5. Obviously, we've done a lot on the football. We got the Knicks tonight as well, and Mitch Robinson already ruled out. I don't know what happened there. I mean, they're not saying it's an injury. He tweaked his ankle. I guess something happened. He was playing in the preseason, and now back-to-back games, he's not going to play. You got Karl Anthony Towns dealing with a quad, Hart dealing with a back, but as they play the Celtics tonight, we got the first game of the World Series tonight. Got a good sports weekend. Big game for the Giants. And I've already told you, this will be the first win for your New York Jets. Let's go. Especially now that dope had me yelling at him. Now I'm really pulling for the Jets. I still think they're better off losing, and they should probably move on from the coach. But maybe he'll get a big win. The game after, he got the big pat on the back from his owner while the owner was, you know, killing the quarterback. I'll be with you tomorrow at 9 a.m. for a Saturday morning, as now our custom Saturday morning into early Saturday afternoon. Maybe the Jets will let us know who the quarterback is by then. What do you think, Fleegs? I'm on at 9 a.m. Saturday. Do I know who the Jets quarterback is at 9 a.m. on Saturday?
Yeah, I'm going to say Aaron Glenn lets us know later today.
Oh, that would be nice. That would be nice. What are the odds it's Justin Fields?
It's probably like 20% if Tyrod can't go.
That's the only thing, right? Like, that's what we're waiting for.
Here's the better question. If Tyrod does start and he's banged up, at what point do we see Justin Fields in the game on Sunday? Because they're not making him QB3.
No, I agree with you. And me and you both, we've talked about this off air. We're 100% in lockstep. Even if they make the switch to Tyrod Taylor, Fields is starting another game this year. There is no doubt about it. We've watched it with the Giants.
I think there's a chance he starts the majority of the games.
Yeah, he could still start most of them left. Yeah. Tyrod Taylor is not making it through the rest of this year healthy. He hasn't been able to do so. Can he make it through this week? Can he make it through this Bengals game? Because if he does, they're bound to win one of these games. They are. They're bound to win. They're not gonna go 0-17. They're bound to win one of these games, and I just have a feeling coming off that win against Pittsburgh that the Bengals are going to have a tough time duplicating that performance. So we'll see. Big game for the Giants. See if the Jets can get that first victory. We got the Knicks tonight. World Series. I'm on the record saying I'm probably going to root for Donnie and the Toronto Blue Jays, but I don't know. When I turn the game on, I'll let you know. I really don't like the idea of the Blue Jays doing something that the Yankees couldn't do last year. And against a better Dodgers team, let's be fair. Ugh. Well, everybody, enjoy the rest of your weekend. Again, I'll talk to you at 9. Thanks to the callers. Thanks to Fleegs. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.